So it's now time for our Audible audiobook preview, which is by Miranda Hart, and I haven't been entirely honest with you. Audible, an Amazon company, is the premium audiobook service with more choice and exciting titles than any other provider, with everything you can possibly wish for, from drama, crime, comedy, action, sci-fi, fantasy, theatre productions, self-help books, biographies, and many, many more. They also have loads of offers and membership benefits, including the audiobook of the day. So, we are going to go in and give you some information about this wonderful new book, which is I Haven't Been Entirely Honest With You. It's by Miranda Hart. It's narrated by Miranda. The length is 10 hours and 9 minutes. It's unabridged. It was released on the 10th of October, 2024. It's in English and it's published by Penguin Audio. So, basically, it's been an unexpectedly difficult decade for Miranda. There have been surprising joys, but also deep revelations and challenging lows. She'll be honest about those because what she's discovered is that difficult times were what she calls treasures. Treasures, practical tools, values, ways, answers researched from some great scientists, neuroscientists, therapists, and sociologists out there that have generally led to a sense of freedom, joy, peace, and physical recovery that she would never have thought possible. Life now, amazingly, which she's going to share with you, is such fun. And she says it's always important to quote your own catchphrases. So let's have a listen now to a wonderful sample by Miranda Hart of this new audiobook, which, and it's read by her too, and it's called I Haven't Been Entirely Honest With You.
This is Audible.
Brought to you by Penguin.
I Haven't Been Entirely Honest With You. Written and read by me, Miranda Hart. A prologue of false starts. When I collapsed, I needed answers for what to do right there and then. It was a chronic situation, but it was still a crisis. I couldn't make myself a kale smoothie or get to a yoga class, and I had no inclination to journal a gratitude list. I was ill, and I was alone, and I was debilitated. And I thought, what do I do now? How can I help myself right now? And then there was a flicker of anger. There's a booming self-help industry out there. There's incredible awareness and discourse on holistic well-being from amazing experts. But I don't know what to do right now to help this critical moment of mine. I needed to know how to do the next 10 minutes, and then hopefully the next. But I had nothing solid to draw on, no clear foundations to trust. As the months went on, this made less and less sense. So, I thought, what are all the extraordinary scientists, neuroscientists, psychologists, etc. today, mixed with ancient wisdom, which many of them draw on, actually saying? What are the keys they all agree on? There must be universal truths to all the knowledge out there. I decided to find out. I needed to find out. Because I needed to know how to do the next 10 minutes. Well, I did find out. I researched and studied and decided to write about it, which is why we are here, my dear listener chum. Hello to you. But I uncovered way more than I ever expected, so I had absolutely no idea where to start this book. Starting can be hard, particularly with anything that feels significant. It's rather bold to say that this little book of mine feels significant, because it may not feel that way to you listening to the thing. Hello again. For me, though, it's an epic embarkation. I'm putting to paper the depths of what I've discovered and lived through in recent years. I was not expecting my life to have turned out the way it has, or to unravel the way it did. But here I am, rather remarkably intact, and even more remarkably, certainly very surprisingly to me, with some answers that have led to living with a meaning, joy, and freedom that I never thought possible. My dear listener chum, I had many attempts at starting this book. In the spirit of honesty, here are the different ways and what I felt about them. It's been quite the journey. Oh no, very naff, start again. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm going to have a cup of tea and hopefully do a poo. Pull yourself together, heart. Time to get serious. Right. So sorry, my lovely listener chum. Next start. Where's the life manual? Since my late teens, I had never felt well. I had constant infections and injuries. If things improved or there was a moment of respite, I would be hit with another virus more debilitating than the last, slowly weakening my body year after year. Bronchitis, tonsillitis, pericarditis, costochondritis, gastroenteritis, labyrinthitis, too many itises to mention, then a blood clot, slip disc, ankle and knee ligament tears, adrenal fatigue, chronic migraines, parasites, cysts and blah, 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 blah. There weren't a few months or even sometimes weeks that passed without another itis rearing its horrid head. In the end, every morning I woke up with a sense of dread of how on earth I was going to find the energy to get through the day. And I didn't know why it was all happening, nor did the doctors who I was all too often passed between. It began to scare me. I felt like I didn't have the essential answers to all the brilliant science we now have on mind and body. I just felt overwhelmed. It seemed that I needed to read one book on mindfulness, another on sleep patterns, another on the mind-body connection, one on habits and goals and purpose, one on hormones, one just on dopamine, one on trauma, one on caffeine, and one on alcohol. Are caffeine and alcohol even acceptable? I mean, one person said yes, the other no, keep reading. A book on power poses, one on ice baths, one on silent retreats, one on expressing your anger, another on soya beans. It was just all too much. What were the basics to give me a starting point for change? Maybe I should write a manual. No, not a good start, Miranda. I don't think I can say I'm embarking on writing a life manual for all humans. Who do I think I am? And if you know me at all, you know I'd only want to call it the Miranual. Right, start again. If you've ever heard the phrase coming home to yourself, have you, like me, felt some sense of peace, knowing it must be true, somehow, but having absolutely no blooming clue what it actually means? I delved around a bit for some answers. It was all a little bit confusing to start with. A lot of words like integrity and your false or shadow self versus your true self versus your ego versus your hairdo, I didn't know. I delved deeper and eventually settled on an exciting revelatory definition. Coming home to yourself, to operate from a place of peace and power, where you are free to be who you are, your authentic self, rather than buffeted by others' opinions of you or worldly measurements of success. Basically, utter self-acceptance. Okay, yes please, I want me some of that. I mean, surely that's the key answer to being holistically well, living as my true wild self. Oh dear, Miranda, no, I believe that, but I end up sounding a bit grand and weirdly sort of spiritual at the end. No, start again. Okay. Roses are red, violets are blue. Sometimes I want to kiss a beefeater, see what they do. No, sorry, let's just pretend I didn't write that. Apologies to you, my dear listener chum. Okay, right, start again. How about this? As children, we play, we explore, we stay in the moment. We shout, look at me, without shame, and show off a new skill, whether that's a twirl or a jump or a new toilet procedure, or all three at once. Do try this at home. Then it slowly creeps in. The worry of what people think, the belief we must be cool, whatever that means. We start to try, at all costs, to fit in. We lose our lovely playful part, possibly other parts too. And then we have a midlife crisis and... hang on, Miranda, that's not right. I seem to have gone from twirling and farting to a midlife crisis awfully quickly, though I appreciate twirling and farting could be symptoms of a midlife crisis. The increase of the latter is certainly happening to me a lot. I veritably motor my way along. Sorry, moving on. Roses are red, violets... No, stop it, Miranda. I know. I'll get serious, I know. I'll start with a recent story. To many, it would have been an ordinary moment in life. A dog walk. Donning some walking boots to negotiate a muddy path through a small wood. But I hadn't had much need for slippers in recent years, let alone walking boots. And I was beaming more widely than would be considered normal. Such a smile was also incompatible with the slippery mud underfoot. At the ripe old age of 50, I'd suddenly become scared of falling over. It happened almost overnight. Now I don't go to the bathroom without a phone in case I slip. Suddenly, the weight of this otherwise ordinary moment hit me. I saw a clump of bluebells. Again, nothing of earth-shattering importance to report. Except, you see, I'd been aching to see a bluebell wood for a very long time. Could I dare to hope that if I walked a little further, I might see the carpeted woodland floor I'd so longed to visit every spring for nearly a decade? I looked up beyond the clump that had stopped me on the path. There they all were. A blue hue cascading majestically down a steep bank towards a clear river. My breath was truly taken away. Indeed, I burst out crying. The tears were for the sheer beauty of the bluebells, but also so much more. It had been precisely 9 long years of waiting to be physically strong enough to see bluebells in spring. I cried, too, in acknowledgement of the last solid decade of ill health, and of how much my illness had taken from me throughout my life. I got all the feels, as I believe the young people say. She may be 50, but she's not out of the game, ladies and gentlemen. Still got her pulse very much on the cultural shizzle, although anyone who has to profess this clearly does not, and if I'm honest, until recently I thought Dua Lipa was a small family car. So, there in my walking boots on a muddy path with a carpet of bluebells before me. No, this isn't right either. I seem to be starting my book at the end. I mean, I may not be the greatest literary mind, but even I know the best way to start a book might be from the beginning. I think perhaps I'm avoiding, and therefore trapping myself, to share truthfully from the start. Right, OK, enough false starts. I've decided how to start. My dear listener chum, I will simply try and tell you my story. We all have a story. I suppose that's what our lives are made up of. Beautiful, unexpected stories of joy and despair, darkness and light, strength and vulnerability, in all their weird and wonderful guises. I know that I would not have been without the people, whether I've met them or not, whether they've been from completely different cultures and backgrounds, or had completely different experiences, who have dared to share their stories out loud, particularly their stories of pain and overcoming. I've felt connected, moved, heard, encouraged, and informed by them. I don't know whether my story will do that for you, but I do believe I've learnt some useful nuggets along the way.
So that was a lovely sample from the new audiobook, which seems frankly honest, from Miranda Hart, called I Haven't Been Entirely Honest With You. And it's 10 hours and 9 minutes. It's unabridged, and it was released early in October. And it's available from audible.co.uk, along with thousands of other titles. To become a member of Audible and receive a whole host of offers and benefits and pay in a variety of ways, you, a friend or family member, can go to the website. That's audible.co.uk. You can call the customer support number, which is a free phone number. It's 0800 496 2455. It's open from 7 in the morning till 11 at night, and it is the same number if you have any problems with joining or the website. If you'd like to request a new audiobook to hear about, get some information on and hear a sample of, then please do contact me. You can give us a call or you can text, and that is 07500 870689, or you can email update tnstoke@gmail.com.